Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Mudirayat Nastaprayeshu Avadveshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Yottama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Krishne Swadamo Pagate Dharma Gyanadi Visaha Kalonasta Disham Mesha Puranarko Dunoditaha. This Bhagavad Purana is as brilliant as the sun. It has arisen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied religion, knowledge, etc. No wonder we're in trouble. Krishna left, and he took religion, knowledge, etc. with him. The good news is that persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness in this age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. The Supreme Lord says, O Grandfather Brahma, one should regularly hear the famous Srimad Bhagavatam with faith. Know for certain, such hearing is the only means of satisfying me. One who daily reads or hears even a half or even a quarter verse of the Bhagavatam, a quarter verse of the Bhagavatam, what do you get? Attains the results of giving 1,000 cows in charity. That's if you hear a quarter verse. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, Prabhupada said, hear Bhagavatam every day. Vaishnavas like Prahlad Maharaj are always present wherever topics of Srimad Bhagavatam are discussed. Those who worship Srimad Bhagavatam are beyond the jurisdiction of Kali. That's a good thing. In the age of Kali, I become very pleased with those who regularly worship Srimad Bhagavatam and dance without fear. Oh, my dear son, as long as Bhagavatam is present in one's house, for that long his forefathers consume milk, ghee, honey, and water. And one who with devotion gives the gift of Bhagavatam resides in my abode for millions of kalpas. O Brahma, O Suvrat, among all types of festivals, the festival of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam is topmost. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada used to say that if all the literatures and scriptures in the world are burnt to ashes, but only Bhagavatam remains, nothing is lost. That's a bold statement. And Lord Chaitanya personally says, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swarup Sri Bhagavata Tate Veda Shastra Haite Parama Mahatva. Srimad Bhagavatam gives direct information of the mellow derived from service to Krishna. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is above all other literatures. Srila Prabhupada says, only one who is taken to devotional service can understand Bhagavatam. This is the key. You perform devotional service and bhaktyamam abhijanati, you become blessed, you become endowed with bhakti from the Lord who's in your heart. So Prabhupada said, one who has developed pure Krishna consciousness and has served the pure devotee, he can understand Bhagavatam, others cannot. So we're reading 10th canto, Krishna meets the inhabitants of Vrindavan. This is text 45 and 46. We'll do 45 responsively. Aham hi sarvabhutanam. Adiranton tarambahi. About the kanam yatakamvar. Burvayar jyotiranganaha. Aham hi sarvabhutanam. Adiranton tarambahi. Bhautikanam yutakambar. Burvayar jyotir anganaha. Aham hi sarvabhutanam.
Adiranton tarambahi.
Tattikanam yatakamba. Aham hi sarvabhutanam. Antuntaram bohi. Bhattikanam yatakamba. Bhuvayo jatyaranjanaha.
Ladies.
Aham hi sarvabhutanam. Arirtantaram bohi. Bhattikanam yatakamba. Aham, I, he, indeed, sarva, all, bhutanam, of created beings, arihi, the beginning, antaha, the end, antaram, inside, bahi, outside, vatikanam, of material things. Yatha, as. Kam, either. Va, water. That was ether, wasn't it? Sorry. Abu, earth. Bayu, air. Jyoti, and fire. Anganaha, O ladies. Dear ladies, I am the beginning and end of all created beings and exist both within and without them. Just as the elements, ether, water, earth, air, and fire, are the beginning and end of all material objects and exist both within and without them. A court purport. According to Sridhar Swami and Srila Vishnu Chakravarti, Lord Krishna implies the following idea in this verse. If you know that I am the Supreme Lord, there should be no question of suffering, of your suffering any separation from me, since I pervade all existence. Your unhappiness must be due to a lack of discrimination. Therefore, please take this instruction from me, which will remove your ignorance. But the truth of the matter is that you gopis were in your previous lives great masters of yoga, and thus you must already know this science of Jnana Yoga. Furthermore, whether I try to teach this to you in person or through my representatives such as Uddhava, it will not produce the desired result. Jnana Yoga simply causes suffering for those who are fully immersed in pure love of God. I don't understand any of that, but I know that devotees, they love Krishna and they don't really care about anything else. They just love Krishna. And when people say, oh, this about Krishna or that about Krishna, they don't care. They have unconditional love for Krishna. We can do this together. Evam yetani bhutani bhuteshvatmatmanatata ubayam mayata pare pasyata bhatamakshare. In this way, all created things reside within the basic elements of creation, while the spirit souls pervade the creation, remaining in their own true identity. You should see both of these, the material creation and the self, as manifest within me, the imperishable supreme truth.
One should properly understand the relationships among the material objects of this world, the elements comprising their basic substance, the individual spirit souls, and the one supreme soul. The various objects of material enjoyment, such as pots, rivers, mountains, are manufactured from the basic material elements, earth, water, fire, and so on. Prabhupada always tells that, he says, you're very proud of your skyscraper buildings. And he said, but where did you get the ingredients to make this? He said, you took some earth, you mixed it with water, and then you put it in an oven and you cooked it in fire and you made a brick. And then you pile all these bricks on top of each other. And he says, you're so proud, you have made a skyscraper building. But you're a thief. Prabhupada said, you're a thief because you took Krishna's energy, you took his ingredients, and you built the skyscraper building. So you should at least give credit to the person who supplied all these things. These elements pervade material things as their cause, while the spirit souls pervade them in their special role as the enjoyer, Svatmana. Ultimately, the material elements, their products, and the living entities are all manifested within and pervaded by the imperishable, perfectly complete, supreme soul, Sri Krishna. Om Purnam Purna Adamida. Purnat Purna Mudachite. A jnani with realization of these facts should feel no separation from the Lord in any situation. But the gopis of Braj are much more elevated in their Krishna consciousness than ordinary jnanis. Because of their intense love for Krishna, in his most human-like, all-attractive aspect as a young cowherd boy, Krishna's internal potency, Yogamaya, covered their knowledge of his majestic aspects, such as his all-pervasiveness. Thus, the gopis were able to relish the intense ecstasy caused by their love and separation from him. Only in jest is Sri Krishna ascribing them to them a lack of spiritual discrimination. They saw Krishna after 40 years and they just froze. They couldn't move. And then Krishna teases them. Om Gyana Timanandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Unmiritam Dina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vande Rupa Sanatana Raguyago Sri Jiva Gopalako. O Krishna, the very fragrant river of your loving pastimes, which is a million times sweeter than nectar, flows within the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. But instead of drinking at that river, the calf of my mind prefers to enter a cave to drink the poison of sense gratification. O Krishna, O Lord of the calves, please quickly curb the calf of my mind with a stick of your mercy and bring it back to the river of your pastimes. So when I was reading this, it's always nice to read about Krishna and the gopis and the relationships of these people that only love Krishna. And my thing is to try, because the only thing that's keeping us away from that nectar is false ego, the false identification that we're separate from Krishna, to the point that we actually left Krishna to come here and try to pretend that we are Krishna. So this is the situation that we find ourselves in. We're in the material world, we're in this body, and all we want to do is party. We want to surf, we want to go to football games, we want to play music, we want to dance and sing, we want to have fun. And so that's what we do. Unfortunately, because we miss the whole point of being connected to Krishna, that's how you actually get peace, happiness, longevity, we go out and we just go for the material. So we have our bodies and we have senses and we know that if we eat something or drink something or smoke something, you know, all these things that we try to do to have fun and try to enjoy this body really hurts us at every step. The more that we do towards sense gratification, the harder it is to figure out why we're so unhappy and why we're so lost. So luckily for us, Prabhupada gave us his books. So if anybody's actually interested in learning how to become a civilized human being, because if you don't become civilized, you can't make progress. And I was thinking this morning when I was reading these verses, I was thinking how to make progress in spiritual life, because sooner or later, I would like to go to Vrindavan and play with Krishna and the cowherd boys and be in that nectar. Now, unfortunately, in my day-to-day living, I don't show that. Because my desires and my activities, because we're all bound by these things. However, there is a process called sadhana bhakti that if we practice, we can become spiritualized. And everybody can do it. No one is barred. Jagai and Madai, the most unqualified, they were saved. Because Lord Nityananda is so unlimitedly kind. And Srila Prabhupada is that mercy of Lord Nityananda. So he has come and he has given the most fallen the highest thing. Now he did stress that we're supposed to follow it. And we're supposed to participate in devotional service like we just read. Devotional service, without the service, we won't be able to understand this. So I like to read and remind myself all the time what's going on. A devotee asked me the other day, Div, you're always there at the temple in the morning. You're there for Guru Puja every morning. I mean, they're not even talking about Mangala. They're just talking about 7:20. And how do you do it? And I was thinking, how do you not do it? How do you live in Alachua? I mean, there's what's here? Besides this, what's in Alachua? What is keeping people busy that they don't come and get darshan? I don't know. But I said, all right, I'll tell you. You got a pencil and a paper, everybody. Be ready because you want to learn this. The secret to coming to the temple in the morning, of course you have to want to do it, but I figure that's a given. You have to go to bed early. It's a secret. It's amazing. You go to bed early, and then you wake up in the morning. Now it's on you when you get up. What are you going to do when you get up? Because you go to bed early, you're going to get up early. It's just a law. If you get up in the morning and you participate in hearing and chanting, you'll be surprised how much better your day goes. You know, whether you show up at the mandir or not, if you get up in the morning and become Krishna conscious, you have to do it. You have to force it. You wake up, I'm dreaming. I have all kinds of amazing dreams at night. You know, but when I wake up at 4, Hare Krishna, I pay obeisances to Prabhupada, and I start the hearing and chanting. So I want to read a little here from Bhagavatam. This is Devahuti. Because it talks about how to progress by actually practicing sadhana bhakti. And by practicing this, we can attain love of Krishna. So Devahuti says, I'm very sick of the disturbances of my material senses. For because of this sense disturbance, I have fallen into the abyss of ignorance. Sound familiar? Your lordship is my only means of getting out of this darkest region of ignorance because you are my transcendental eye, which I have attained after many, many births. You're the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original. You can dissipate all ignorance. Please dispel my great delusion. After hearing his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord, his face smiling, explained the path. The Lord said, O most pious mother, I shall now explain to you an ancient yoga system, which I explained formally to the great sages. It is serviceable and practical in every way. It's serviceable and practical. So if you actually apply this to your life and follow what the Lord is telling, it's practical. It's a practical thing that we can do. I like this one. When one is cleansed of impurities of lust and greed, I mean, that's a huge statement. When one is cleansed from the impurities of lust and greed and from the false identification of I and mine, then one's mind becomes purified. And in that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. I love this one. Jnana vairagya yuktena bhakti yuktena chatmana paripashyat yudasinam prakritim cha hatavajasam. In that position of self-realization, by practice of knowledge and renunciation in devotional service, one sees everything in the right perspective. He becomes indifferent to material existence, and the material influence acts less powerfully upon him. That is called prakritim cha hatavajasam, that maya acts less powerfully upon him. Now, that's a huge break that we need. So if you participate in devotional service with faith, and you're absorbed in it, then maya is less on you. And man, you don't want maya on you. What are you going to do if maya's on you? Every learned man knows that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement. But that same attachment, when applied to self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Prabhupada says here, the sadhu is described as one who has unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the rules strictly. This is an amazing point, Prabhupada says here. Because some devotees have the tendency to be fanatical and you start following the four regular principles, chanting rounds, and then one day you only chant 15 rounds and you're suicidal. What have I done? I've fallen. But the truth is, Prabhupada said, where is the question of fall down for a fallen soul? Or a fallen fellow, that's what he said. I'm so fallen. Prabhupada said, what are you talking about, fallen? You're fallen. Prabhupada says here in the Bhagavatam, if you unflinchingly engage in your service, even though you're found not to be strictly following the rules and regulations, if one simply has that faith in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, then he is understood to be a sadhu. Lord Chaitanya says, lava matra sadhu sange sarva siddhi hoy, simply by a moment's association with a sadhu, you can attain perfection. And then, of course, the famous Tatikshava Karunika, Surida Sarvadehina, Majata Shatravashantaha, Sarava Sarabhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu is that he's tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. Yesterday, a guy tried to kill me. I was out on Sankirtan, and I walked up to a van. This is old rattle-trap van. I don't know how it even ran. But there's a guy sitting in the van with long, stringy hair and a beard, and he's smoking. I'm like, it's like a hippie. Maybe he'll go for this, right? So I walk up to the guy and I hand him the lollipop and he just starts spewing obscenities, you know. Ah, get away from me, you know. So, okay, Hare Krishna, and I walk away. And I was across the lot, maybe 100 yards away from him working, and then I hear the van. And this guy comes to kill me. He's flying right at me as fast as he can. I duck into a line of cars, you know, and he just flies by. Ah! Like a crazy man. And I was just like, wow, I wish I had that on film. You know, I would love to see that again. So the guy, anyway, the guy left. And I kept looking around thinking, where is that dude? I don't really want to be run over by a van today. But in the meantime, I had sold a book to this Christian lady. I didn't know at the time. She gave it a donation when I handed her the Beyond Birth and Death. This is a piece of the book that she tore out to give me. And I gave her the Beyond Birth and Death, and she said, praise the Lord, or something like that. And I was like, okay. But she had the book. Because I hate to ruin a Christian's Agyata Sukriti. If a Christian gives me a dollar and eats a lollipop, and then I give them Beyond Birth and Death, and they go ape, and all of a sudden they become the most offensive creature you ever saw, you don't want to do that to them. So normally I say, God bless you, before I'm handing them a book, if there's any question, if there's a crucifix hanging, or if there's some Bible on the dash of the truck, I say, God bless you. A lot of people aren't that into it. But if you say, God bless you to a born again, they go, God bless you, and Jesus saves, and bathed in the blood, etc., etc. So anyway, I gave her the book, and about a half hour later, she came back with this note to me. And it's Beyond Birth and Death. She tore this out of the front of the book and says, there is a heaven and hell, and Jesus is the Son of God, and he came to save you from your sins. Whoever believes in him shall not perish. Jesus is Lord and he loves you. So Jesus can give you true eternal peace. Thank you very much. Jesus loves you. So I got a crazy hippie old guy trying to run me over in a van. And then I got a crazy born-again Christian trying to save me from Krishna. So this is my job. I get to go out in the middle of utter insanity, especially now with this Christmas marathon going on. People are out there and they're buying gifts for their aunt that they haven't seen in a year and they don't even like her, but they gotta buy a gift. And they're out there. And these people come out of the, I mean, there's more people out shopping now than you'll see the whole rest of the year because they have this weird, they have to do it. It's Christmas. I have to buy a gift for everybody. So I go out there, I've been going out there with Gitas and giving everybody Gitas and saying, here, Merry Christmas. And they go, I don't want it. I go, no, give it as a Christmas gift. And many people go, hey, that just saved me 10 bucks. You know what I mean? It's a Christmas gift. I'll give it to somebody. So I'm giving these Gitas to people. I'm doing 50, 60 Gitas a day out there. And because a benevolent sponsor gave me a whole bunch of Gitas, so everybody I meet just gets a Gita. And this guy yesterday, he was really in a hurry. He was an Indian man. He gave me a donation and he was running away. I said, hey, 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 you got to take the Gita. And I handed him the Gita and he stopped in his tracks and he said, oh my God, I didn't know you'd give me Bhagavad Gita. So he pulls out his wallet. He's a doctor, I found out. He's a South Indian guy from Bangalore, a really nice guy. And he pulls out his wallet and he gives me another $30. He goes, I must give you something for Gita. He said, of course I have Gita. And I said, no, you share it with one of your Western doctor friends that don't have it. Share it with them. And same thing yesterday. I met this lady. She came up to me and she said, she pulled up in her van and said, I saw you taking donations. And she had a bag and she gave it to me out the window. And it was a frozen turkey. I'm like, wait a minute, I got to give you a book. Put the bird down, give her a book. It was frozen at least. I mean, so I took it to the store and returned it for $15.95. And that $15.95 is going to sponsor, you know, the next 30 little books that are going out. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. I didn't want the damn bird, but, you know, what are you going to do? Lady comes up, I hear you're getting donations. Here's a turkey. Prabhupada says in a purport of the famous Satikshava verse, these are the preachings of the sadhu. Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Krishna. Don't spoil your life. You're simply fulfilling your animal propensities. These are the preachings of a sadhu. He's not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about the others. He's the most compassionate toward all fallen souls, and one of his qualifications, therefore, is karunika, or mercy. While engaged in preaching, he has to meet so many opposing elements. Therefore, the sadhu or the devotee of the Lord has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him. Imagine that. Someone may ill-treat him. The conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the knowledge, so they don't like it. This is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of trying to give it to him anyway. Such a sadhu is in his staunch devotion to the Lord without any deviation. For the sake of the Lord, he renounces all connections in the world. Now listen to this verse. This is nectar. Madasraya katam mrishtaha shrinvanti katayanti cha tapanti vividastapa naitan madgata chitasaha. Engaged constantly in hearing and chanting, the sadhus do not suffer from material miseries because they're always filled with thoughts of my pastimes and activities. You ought to try that. Now, I don't know what that's like because I've never tried it. But if you were fully absorbed in Krishna's, the thoughts of Krishna and his activities, then you'd be like Vaish. You would not feel material miseries. Because why? Because you're so full with Krishna consciousness that you didn't even notice the material miseries. That's just the way it is. It's like we're going to chant all 700 verses and we're going to sell $37,000 worth of books while we do it. Somebody might think, how do you do that? Because that's exactly what I said. When he wrote me, I just got on the phone. I said, how do you do that? Now listen to this, kids. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of pastimes and activities of the Lord is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and to the heart. And by cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. I mean, I thought it began a long time ago, but actually I didn't. Real devotion and devotional service, that's when it begins. The prophet says in the purport, the process of advancing in Krishna consciousness is described here. Without association of devotees, one cannot make advancement. Without association of devotees, one cannot make advancement. This is important. Sangha. There's a couple more verses here that are worth hearing. Listen to this. The way I look at it is if you take time out of your day sometime and associate with Prabhupada by reading. Like I've been telling my son to read every day. And he says, all right, I'll read a chapter. And then he doesn't read a chapter. And I go, why don't you just, you know, read two pages? You know, why don't you read a paragraph? But wherever you start, whenever you touch the book, you'll get some nectar. Like you'll open this up and it'll say, oh, my mother, devotees always see my smiling face of my form with eyes like the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent. And they also talk favorably with me. They talk with the Lord, and he talks to them. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord smiling and attractive, and hearing his pleasing words, the devotees lose all of their consciousness. Senses are freed from all their engagements and becomes absorbed in devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he gets liberation without any separate endeavor. The Lord continued, my dear mother, devotees who receive such transcendental opulences are never bereft of them. Neither weapons nor time can destroy such transcendental opulences. Because the devotees accept me as their friend, relative, son, preceptor, benefactor, and supreme deity, they cannot be deprived of their possessions at any time. So these are all udipans. These are inspirations for us to take shelter of devotional service by hearing and chanting mainly, but actually doing something for the Lord is important too. We get engaged in Prabhupada's service, you never know what's going to happen. According to Srila Prabhupada, the message of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada wrote, is Krishnara lagiya yeva nitya yudakari ridhi siddhi jnana taramushtirabhitare. Whoever daily fights the battle of life only for Lord Krishna's sake discovers prosperity, mystic perfection, and transcendental knowledge in the palm of his hand. So we don't have to think about anything. We don't have to worry about anything. All we have to do is engage in Krishna's service. And if you hear and chant, you'll be inspired. A devotee said to me the other day, I haven't been feeling spiritually inspired. Happens to me every day, every hour, almost every minute. But what do you do? I said, what have you been reading? And they were like, reading? So there's a reason for everything. The reason I came to the material world is because I'm an idiot and I thought I could enjoy. And I was like, you know, Krishna's out there dancing with the gopis. I want to do that. So I'm like, I got that. I can hold a flute. I can dance with women. I'm going. And so we went. And then you're here. Then you're stuck in here. You know, with Kama, Krodha, love, all these things that we don't have. Like I met this other Christian the other day and he told me some guy was really angry at me in the parking lot. This happens a lot. And this other Christian observed it and said something like, I don't have anger. And I didn't say it, but I was thinking, you're the only guy that didn't get it. You're the one jiva that came to the material world and you didn't get the anger thing. Because actually, everybody has to deal with the six enemies. They're there, Kama, Krodha. You know, these things are there inside of us. So what to do? Take shelter of Lord Nityananda. That's what to do. Prabhupada says, Nityananda Roy is worshipable by all devotees. Because even when he was physically attacked by the degraded souls Jagai and Madai, he simply bestowed upon them ecstatic love of God. That was what he gave them when they hit him on the head. What did he give them? Ecstatic love of God. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gaurahari, had already angrily raised his Sudarshan disc to kill the envious offenders of the Vaishnavas. But by Lord Nityananda's mercy, they were transformed into Vaishnavas. Showing the ideal example himself, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaged in preaching to the fallen souls. The world is now filled up with countless Jagais and Madais. They all need deliverance. Indeed, in his magnanimous mercy, all the sinful souls are transformed into devotees. So the devotee takes it upon himself to go out and mingle with the fallen souls. Because if we don't do it, who's going to do it? There's not many people out there that have this to offer. So it's really on us. And Prabhupada said that just preach the Lord's message to the fallen souls, continually going door to door. By the grace of that preaching, your life will become truly successful. My spiritual master, Sri Varshabhanavi Dayati Das, has given the following instruction. Chant the holy name in a loud voice. This is his foremost command. All modern communication systems can be used. Maya's deluding potency is perfectly expressed in the blaring mundane noise of the radios we hear everywhere. Put an end to all this nonsense by replacing it with continual broadcasts of transcendental kirtan. All mundane newspapers endlessly carry trivial, intolerable chattering about Maya's endless distractions. Just counteract all this by publishing the Lord's glories and distributing these newspapers, everywhere in the world. Loud kirtan causes advancement. So these things are for us to take shelter of when we're wondering why we're not feeling inspired, why we didn't get up and go to the temple, why we didn't give somebody a book, why we didn't tell somebody Hare Krishna. I did that yesterday when I went into Publix. I saw this kid crying. Him and his mom were there, and he was throwing a fit. Maybe he was two or three. And I just walked up to him with my phone. And I said, Nitai! And the kid just stopped crying, and he looked up at me, and the mother looked at me and said, thank you. Whatever. I didn't. I mean, you know, I just... I try to give them the holy name. I try to give them something. You know, they were inside the store. I couldn't exactly work them. You know, so I just gave them the holy name of Nittai. There's one more thing in here that's worth hearing. There's a lot of nectar in this book. And the more I read it, the more I realize. Oh, this is the Shower of Divine Compassion, Prabhupada's poetry that he wrote years and years and years ago. And Dasarath Sutta has put it together very nicely. Where is it? Also, he said in here that in 1960, Prabhupada got a room in Delhi. And he wrote his first book, Easy Journey to Other Planets. I did not know that. You read these things and you learn stuff. Books, it's a great thing. Anyway, in serving the spiritual master's instruction, the disciples are empowered by his transcendental sound vibration. Please give up false pride and return to this standard of service. Make a pledge on this very day to give up all your petty false fault findings. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught his followers, one must act for the benefit of all other living beings. And for a devotee, this work is the storehouse of happiness in the present life and in the next. So, I'll be going out again today. I'm really, really tired because I've been going out every day. And it's really hard when it gets down to the end of this, closer to Christmas. The people are so agitated. They're upadrita. They're manda sumanda matayo. They're manda bhagya, but they're always upadrita. But when they're out there shopping and they only got a few days left and they are really, I mean, they're fighting over parking places and they're yelling at each other. It's really, really hard. But you go out there and you think, we're the only hope these people have. If they run into me and get a lollipop or get a mantra card or I say Hare Krishna to them or they get a book, give a donation, then they're back on the path of to get out of this mess that we're all in. Because if you don't take steps and don't take some kind of thing to get out of it, you're stuck. This is what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that surrounded by enemies, remember those six enemies we're talking about, we are serving the Lord and his devotees with great determination. Each of us, more or less, becomes forgetful of service to Krishna, being servants of our six enemies. My plea to all of you is to unite, serve the Lord in a spirit of friendship and cooperation, each having the same goal in our hearts. Ekaki amar nahi paival. Alone I obtain no strength. Remember this and perform kirtan yajna in unison, the indispensable good quality expected of those in charge of kirtan yajna is to have friendship with all Vaishnavas and execute devotional service by pleasing all Vaishnavas. Sarva Vaishnavera paye kori namaskar ite aparada kichu nahuka amar. I offer my obeisances to the feet of all Vaishnavas so that I don't commit offense to any of them. If anybody has any questions or anything to add, otherwise I'm going to tell another story. Pran Govinda. Prabhu, I'm just a servant of the servant of the servant of the Sangatana devotee. I just sell books. That's what I do. That's my service. I sell books. I read them too, because my realization, if I have any, is that when I don't practice, it's really hard to go out into that circus out there and do what I do for any length of time. If I don't know what's going on, if I don't pay attention, and if I don't chant my rounds, I can't go out there and talk to these creatures. It's funny and it's sad, but it's completely, it's crazy out there. I mean, just not to get run over in these small parking lots in this time of the year is a miracle. And that's one of my mantras. I go up to people, my mantra is Merry Christmas. Every person I walk up to, I just go, Merry Christmas. And 9 out of 10 of them just drop their defenses and go, Merry Christmas. And then I have them. If you have them for a half a second, then you give them something. You hand them a book, or you hand them a lollipop, or you, whatever you're going to hand them. But that's the mantra. You go out there and say, Merry Christmas. And then my second thing I tell every single person, I say, be careful. Everybody's driving psycho out here today. And they all laugh because they've seen it. They look around and people are honking their horns and driving like India out there. Trevor Crown?
Add something to the chanting. I went to New York and I got a serious cold. And there are times As soon as I open my mouth to chant, I start to cry. I say, what is this? I have to chant 16 rungs. But as soon as I said, look, I have to do something. And I start to chant silently. So for people who are sick and they cannot really do, you know, they can't, you could do it. I practically chanted 16 rungs.
Mana japa.
And I move the beads too, you know. So despite what's your state, you can still chant the words.
Okay.
And thank you for so nice inspiring class.
I hope you get better, Prabhu. I was sick for the whole week of Thanksgiving, which really hurt me because it's busy out there. I mean, I don't like laying on the floor with a fever and being sick. That's not nice. But missing busy Sangerton just tortured me. Anyway, I want to tell the story about my father and his wife because it's hilarious. Prabhupada always tells that he would see the people. We're all servants of Krishna, but because we don't serve Krishna, we serve society, community, your family, your wife. And then if you don't have a wife and a kid, Prabhupada always says, or you have some dog or some cat. And people keep some cat and they serve it. So my father, the guy's 87, and he's remarried to a woman who's about my age. And they don't have any, you know, I mean, he's got his grandkids, but they don't have any dependents close or anything. So they have these feral cats up behind their house. And they feed the feral cats. Anyway, they found this one feral cat. That the cat had a litter, and one of the kittens was obviously something wrong with it. So they take it in, right? And they go online and they find out, come to find there's a whole crew of these morons out there, cat worshippers, that they find these cats that have this, it's a disease and they don't live very long and it ruins all their motor functions. So you have a little fur ball that all it does is go to the bathroom all the time. That's basically all they do. And you have to feed it. And anyway, so this crazy woman, she gets a snuggly. You know how you carry your baby in a snuggly? So she's got this kitty, this little kitten in a snuggly, walking around with it. This is a yuppie woman with a Rolex, and she's got a lot of money, and she's got this stinky little cat in the snuggly. And they're taking it to vets and spending thousands of dollars and getting all kinds of advice, giving them special food and stuff. And my father calls me over to the side, and he goes, you haven't seen the worst part. It goes to the bathroom 6 or 7 times a day. And this thing was like a Persian, so it had tons of fur. So this woman, 60-year-old yuppie woman, her service every day was to feed that cat and then 6 or 7 times a day clean the cat because all it would do was eat and poop. That was its whole thing. And I mean, I've heard this so many times, Prabhupada says that. They'll get a dog or a cat to serve. But I just never seen it taken to that length. And this woman, she hates kids. She's been married 3 times, never had kids. She doesn't understand why people have kids and then they have to take care of them. But she's got a little cat. And then the thing died. 2 months later, the cat died and broke her heart. And she had to go to Cancun just to get over it. It's just the way, I mean, this is the way people without Krishna are. And I've seen it in my own personal family, how whacked out they really are. And so how important is it? I mean, you know, people don't really appreciate that they could die today. Most people think, nah, I'm going to live. My father's alive. My grandfather's alive. I got years to go. What am I worried about? But we don't know. We might get hit by a bus today and be dead. And if you thought like that, you would act differently. And so, from what I've seen, people aren't thinking like that, and they're not acting like that. So it's really our duty to go out and give them something. Give them something spiritual. Give them a book. Give them a card. Give them prasadam. Say Hare Krishna. Yell Nitai at their kid. Do something to inform them that there's a whole nother thing going on out here. It's not just what we see. And when I think like that, I feel sorry for them, and I like to go out. So even when I'm totally at the end, I mean, I am burnt out. Usually the last week of Christmas is really hard. It was even hard when we had airports and legal spots, but it's just, the people get so angry at this time of the year. And you walk up to them, they come out of the store, they just spent $1,000 on plastic junk from China that they don't need. And you go, hi, how you doing? Merry Christmas. Can you give us some money? Now that's so anyway, that's my job. And I will be doing that again today. Hopefully I'll do it until I die. And we got more nectar. All right, Prabhu, let's hear some more nectar. Bring it on.
Can you That verse you're quoting where if you perform your service and you don't maintain your sadhana perfectly.
That's from, it's Kapila talking, it's in the purport. It's Kapila talking to, because that's the thing that's been coming up lately. People ask me, you know, if you're not a pure devotee, how can you give a class? If you're not a pure devotee, how can you just sankirtan? If you're not, but that isn't our philosophy. When we came and joined, when I came and joined the Hare Krishna movement, they told me to go out and sell books the first day. I was still high. I mean, if they would have said, hey, has anybody eaten any peyote today? I would have disqualified myself. But, and the devotee said, you still got it? I had a bag of peyote. He goes, well, throw it away. You know, one devotee said, no, you can keep it. He blooped. He disappeared a few months later. But when I walked in the door, they didn't say, hey, are you clean and sober? Because if you're not, get out of here. That is not our philosophy. Not only that, I mean, what about Jagai and Madai? You know, it's going to kill them. Could have just killed them. Would have been quicker. But what did Nityananda do? No, don't kill them. You have to kill them all. So I have to go out without a bag. I'm going to get with a gun. You know, and just kill them all. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I'm not going to do that. Lord Chaitanya told us to save them. I mean, sometimes I feel like I want to kill them. But, you know, that's just my false ego because I'm a hockey player. But the truth is that every jiva is a devotee of Krishna. We're all in a family. These are our brothers and sisters. These aren't strangers that we hate. We love them. We miss them. Where you been? You know what I mean? If your son's been gone for a few months, he shows up, you hug him. Where you been? Right? So these people that we don't recognize them, but they're all our family from Goloka Vrindavan. I don't know who you are. You don't know who I am. But that reference here is, I highlighted it because I really liked it. The verse says, every learned man knows that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement. But the same attachment when applied to self-realized devotees opens the door of liberation. You get attached to Prabhupada and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you're going back to Godhead. But Prabhupada says here, it is recommended in this verse that a sadhu should, his attachment should be transferred to self-realized devotees. A sadhu is described as one who has unflinching faith. And he engages in devotional service unflinchingly. That's the first sentence. He engages in devotional service unflinchingly. The second sentence is, even though one is found not to be following strictly the rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, then he is understood to be a sadhu. It's like the verse in the Gita, right? We know, everybody knows the verse in Gita that says commits abominable activity, but if he's engaged in devotional service, he's considered saintly. It's a progression. We take the Jagais and Madais and we don't kill them. We take them to Srivasangam and have kirtan. That's what they did. That's what they did.
My question in reference to that is, how do you define exactly the service? Does it have to be direct service? Can it be, you know, your job, but you're thinking of Krishna?
There's service to Krishna means I'm doing this for Krishna, and everything else that I'm doing for sense gratification, that's not service. So it doesn't matter what it is you do. I mean, you could be an engineer or an architect, you could be flying airplanes around. But if you're flying airplanes around and you're thinking of Prabhupada or Garuda or something, then you're in spiritual consciousness. If you have your buds in and you're listening to Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's talking, then that's spiritual. You could be on the altar thinking of football. Or worse. I know people, I mean, when I was a brahmachari, it was amazing. They used to let me wake Kishore Kishore. Somebody said, hey Prabhu, would you like to wake the deities? And I was like, yeah, sure. So every morning I would go in and wake Kishore Kishore. And the first day I did it, after the pujari came to me and said, now that you've done that, you can never stop. This is your service eternally. And I was like, well, why didn't you tell me that? You know, but I said, well, you know, maybe, all right, I'll do this. So I did it every day, and it was ecstatic. You know, you go in there, and you offer him his flute, and you put flowers in his hair, and, you know, you touch his feet, and it was nectar, say some mantras. And I was so glad I did that. I wasn't going to do it, but Vaishadev, you can do that, just do it. And then they tricked me, and they got me in there, and I got to do it every day now. But which was nice, you know, I did it for, I don't know, a year or so. But the point is that devotional service, you can do just like his japa in his mind. Somebody might have saw him sitting there and thought, why don't you chant? But he was chanting in his mind. So you can do devotional service on so many levels. I try to bring it down that we can share it with others because it's so important, and it's not, I mean, it is being done, but it's not like it used to be in ISKCON. In ISKCON, everybody went on Sankirtan when I was in ISKCON in the old days, and one pujari, one cook, that was it. Even the cooks and pujaris would go out locally and do something because we had this, Prabhupada had us fired up, you know, it was fervent. It was urgency that this guy's going to die, I better give him a book. There's nothing you can do. I mean, if you believe that, if you believe that we have what the soul needs, then there's no way that you can be stopped. Nobody can stop me from doing Sankirtan because I know this. And I know what it did to me, and I know what it did to my family, and I know what it'll do to anybody, even Jagai and Mata, even murderers. Vice just initiated this double, this guy's got a twin life sentence, back-to-back sentence, because he killed two people. Now, for the last 10 years, he's been chanting, reading, writing, and he finally got Vice to go to the prison and initiate him. So then Madan comes to me the other day and goes, I got a guy out in prison. He's pretty sincere. I said, give him the Vice. Who knows? So if you can save Jagai and Madan and me, if you can save a guy like me off the street and make me a bookseller for Prabhupada, then you can practically save anybody. Anybody. There's no qualification, no prerequisite for this. They broke open the storehouse and they give it out without any discrimination. I discriminate a little when I see a born-again Christian. I don't give them a book because they're going to rip it up and they're going to call the cops, and I don't need that, and they don't need that. So I always God bless them, you know. God bless you. Merry Christmas. And if they don't get all bathed in the blood on me, then I give them a book. Guy came back the other day with a book. And he said, you said you were a Christian. And I said, I am a Christian. I said, what's a Christian? He said, he follows Jesus. I said, I follow Jesus. So he goes, all right, I guess you're a Christian. Why did you give me this book? I said, did you read it? And he said, no. I said, read it and I'll tell you. The guy took the book. The guy went away with the book. I said, you couldn't have read it that fast, you know. But I'm out there with Prabhupada. I'm out there with Lord Chaitanya. I'm not messing around. You can try to run over me. You can throw stuff at me and call the cops. Whatever. I'm still out there. You can write notes on my books and tell me I got to get saved. But I'm still coming right back at you. Your mom's going to get a book from me. Your kid's going to get a book from me. Your grandkid is going to get a book from me. And Prabhupada said, the brainwashed books are there. They will act. Sooner or later, somebody's going to go, what is this? Been sitting on the shelf. Let's see, what do we got here? It's the chariot of the air, Romans of Romans, and all of a sudden they're reading spiritual nectar. I mean, it's a lot easier than it should be. Sometimes I think, they don't deserve this. But then I remember that I didn't deserve it either. You know, I was just walking down the street smoking a joint, and the devotee said, get in the van, you know. So the next thing you know, I'm selling books for 45 years. I didn't plan on it. It's just, you know, once they got in my heart, I can't not do it now. I can't. It's like it's a thing. You know, I have it now, and I'm glad I have it. I really am, because whenever I see somebody, I think, that guy doesn't have Krishna. I got to give him Krishna. You know, so that's what I do. Steve Tadi, do you have some nectar for me?
You're talking about giving, you know, the clowns of the conditional realm, you know, some spiritual nectar, right? And you mentioned, and this is what got me going, you mentioned EJW was the first book that Prabhupada actually published. He's a journey. And in, okay, this is a little different, but in the original edition from 1960, he dedicated that book, which is a little different, to the scientists of the world.
Right.
With the blessings of Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj.
Right. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah, talk about
Prabhupada
trying to reach out.
Amazing. I mean, but he was talking about the antimatter, you know, and the whole thing, and he was. And it's amazing because he poured that book out. I've distributed a lot of those books, you know, and when I give them to people, I think, what are they going to think of this? Easy Journey to Other Planets. There's a yogi sitting there. Keshava, you got something?
We were just doing a Harinam in St. Anne's Bay in Jamaica at the marketplace, and as we were going in, everybody is surprised to see us, and they wanted to know what we were doing. So we're chanting the mantra and the drumming and all that. This one guy who is a vegetable salesman there, so he came up to us and he looked very rough and he was wanting to know. So we were chanting and I said, just chant with us, you know, sing these words. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But he couldn't say, he couldn't chant Krishna, but he got Hare Rama. So all along the market, he's going around, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. He's telling everybody Hare Rama, just like Tulsi Rani would tell the people on Harinam. Chant Gauranga. Actually, because Srila Prabhupada said, if you chant Gauranga, you will definitely get the love of Godhead in this life.
Wow. Thank you. Nice. Yeah, man. Sankirtan Ki Jai. It's funny because just going out there, I mean, just getting out, you know, you get your books in your bag and you get your thing together and you walk up to the people and see what's going to happen. And one of the places I went yesterday, the first thing that happened, this guy just came out and he said, get out of here. You can't do this here. He didn't even work there. He wasn't security. He was just one of those people that just couldn't stand it that there was a devotee out there doing sankirtan. And I said, no, I was just leaving, which disarmed him. You know, he's like, you can't do this here. Get out. I said, oh, I was just leaving. Bye. So I got in my car and I drove away and I went around the block and I came back. Stayed there for another hour, distributed another 25 Gitas. Hari Bob.
Hare Krishna. Because you started the class with Vaisheshika Prabhu's book distribution score, I thought I can add one more to that. That was last week he did, 340
cases
of Bhagavad Gita. This week, 2 days back in Toronto, he did, I think, close to 250 cases of Bhagavad Gita.
That's true. He did it in Toronto. You can't stop him. That was the initiation. He was doing initiations. But they decided to sell another 250 cases was the total?
Almost, I think, yeah.
He's unstoppable. They were out in Sankirtan in San Francisco, and they were walking along, and there was this homeless guy, you know, begging. So Vaish goes up to the guy and sells him a book for $10. The guy, you know, he's out there toothless, you know how they look, just that, you know, he had a little sign, you know, whatever. And Vaish just went over and worked him like a regular guy. The guy gave him 10. Well, they got money. What do they do all day? They stand around out there all day to ask people for money. He's got money, but Vaish didn't even pay him any attention. He just acted like he was just a regular guy. It's pretty funny. But that's what happens when you go out there, because Lord Chaitanya wants this done more than anything. You got more, Vaishnavi? How about you, Gopal? You got some nectar? Chant a slow. Come on.
Maya
Buddha Nibeshaya.
Yam Purvajanta Manupetama Peta Krityam Dwaipaya No Virahaka Tara Adyuhava. Putreti Kampar Tayatara Vobi Nedos Samsarva Buddha Hidayamuni Manatosni.
Jai! Very good, Prabhu.
Also, he did the countdown. The Gita 10, Gita 9.
You like that, don't you? Yeah, Vaish does that thing. He does that countdown. Nobody can say no to him. He's like, all right, we're done. We're done collecting. We did 37,000. And then he goes, are we really done? Krishna 10, Krishna 9. And somebody goes, no, I'll give another 108. It's just the way he is. He's an avadut. I was lucky to have his association. Anything else, Prabhus? Because I got to get out there and get on Sankirtan. Jai, Guru's Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.